It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Christmas Eve, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook.
He's all over Facebook.
He's all over Facebook. Kobe Slagle's working the board.
Hello, hello.
And Ben Traub, who is the director of community ambassador.
Yeah, I'm a director.
No, what's your...
manager. Community manager. Ambassador program for WFYI Public Media.
See what he said.
Yeah.
And he'll be checking Facebook and tweets and...
I'll be checking other people's responses to the WFYI The Point Facebook page.
Ah.
So send us messages and stuff.
Yeah, and messages.
And stuff.
No, yes. I'm not going to open anything that has an attachment.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yep. There you go. So, yeah, it's Christmas Eve. It's 5 o'clock. There's, what, 5 people in the building?
Yeah.
And Joe and Sharon and us,
of them right here.
Basically. But, no, I first off, I want to say, guys, thank you for coming in on Christmas Eve when we realized the show was going to fall on a Friday. And I know you wanted, Ben, you wanted a break from the house.
I need to get out of the house.
Kobe... Well, you're just cool.
It's always good to be here. P.S.
What?
Which one of you two knuckleheads thought it would be? Thought you were funny.
And well, I'm hilarious. But in what sense are you talking about right now?
Okay, so it's probably not you. It's probably you.
Me?
Yeah.
I think I'm funny.
You put that DVD on my desk.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not there anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I'll explain this to our listeners. You know, if you guys are done.
Oh, it's not done.
No, we're not done.
I'm not watching it.
I guess we'll get to new movies in a little bit, but first I have to clear up
this. What's in that package?
No.
May okay. I finish?
Just let it's his show, dude. Come on.
It's not my show, but I'm on that show, said Dick Duran one time before he was fired.
Yep.
Yes, there's been a recurring joke between Kobe and Ben and myself. Those who are listeners, longtime listeners of the show, you know that Kobe does not like scary movies.
Nope.
And it took a lot, and it took a lot of gumption, and for him to watch Psycho when my fantasy football team beat his. Mm-hmm. But we've been trying to persuade him.
Was that scary?
Scary?
No, it was suspenseful. Hey, the part where he's going up the stairs, and then
Martin balls him.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. See, and then you.
I'm so scared just listening to you talk about it.
But despite all this, we have not been able to get Kobe to watch the David Lynch masterpiece, Blue Velvet. And it's not a scary film. It's more disturbing than
Here,
scary.
Kobe, I got you this for Christmas.
You want me to open this right now?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Okay,
you hear that?
I guess we're doing an early version of
That's
what
paper.
Is Kobe watching. So.
Alrighty.
So, yeah. Anyway, well... Christmas gifts. This is
so Kobe's really afraid, and we're trying to get him to watch David Lynch films.
And thank you for calling him a jerk. Okay, yeah, Blue Velvet.
Come on, Kobe, just watch it. It's one of the best American films ever made.
Wow.
I think so.
David Lynch's best film by far.
It's 2 hours. It's
You're not using the film length as an excuse.
It's 2 hours of me being freaked out. I'm not trying to have that.
It's not all freaked out. How freaked out can it be? It has Isabella Rossellini and Laura Dern.
Rossellini.
I said it. All right, let's get to new movies.
Has anybody sent us messages yet?
Let's get to new movies. Now that we've thrown out the last 10 minutes of the show by starting with it. Opening in theaters yesterday, because now it's Christmas time, so we have films that are opening Wednesday and they're opening tomorrow.
But there was no
films opening today. Did Little Fockers open today?
I think it did.
It did. Whatever.
Can you say that on the radio?
I said it slowly, like the Roman Polanski film, The Pianists. You have to say that slowly.
Slowly.
And carefully. But opening in theaters Wednesday is the latest epic from the Coen brothers. This time around, they don't really throw a curveball at you. You should know it's coming. But they did their version of the Western story, True Grit. And it stars Jeff Bridges as Rooster Cogburn. And you also have Matt Damon, Josh Brolin, Barry Pepper, and newcomer Haley Steinfeld. And yes, they did this film with John Wayne in 1969. This one is considerably different.
Mr. Cogburn, in your 4 years as U.S. Marshal, how many men have you shot?
Shot or killed?
Let us restrict it to killed so that we may have a manageable figure.
Mr. Cogburn?
What do you want, girl?
I'm looking for the man who killed my father. The man's name is Tom Chaney, and I need somebody to go after him.
What's your name?
My name is Maddie Ross. Are you some kind of law?
I'm a Texas Ranger. I know Chaney. It is at least a two-man job taking him alive.
Marshal Cogburn? Can we depart this afternoon?
We?
I'm going with you.
Congratulations. You've graduated from marauder to wet nurse.
We're being followed.
What are we doing, Marshal?
You missed your shot, Cogburn.
Just let this go.
I thought you were going to say the sun was in your eyes. That is to say, your eye.
You got a lot of experience with bounty hunters, do you?
That is a silly question. I am 14.
You can run on for a long time.
Time for you to go home.
I don't like you. I will not go back, not without Chaney, dead or alive.
You gotta cut you down.
Chaney's here! Help me, Marshal!
Now what, Cogburn?
Them boys don't think about the wrath that's about to set down on it. Chaney and his gang are rough lot.
I do not regret shooting your father.
I will kill this girl!
Biggest mistake you ever made.
Woman, God's gonna cut you down.
Help me!
I can do nothing for you, son.
All right. I've been a fairly staunch Coen Brothers, at times apologist. Yes, I know this includes The Lady Killers and Intolerable Cruelty. I actually enjoyed those as well. Not as much as others.
A Serious Man?
Oh, I love Serious Man.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, Intolerable Cruelty, the one with...
Catherine Zeta-Jones
and
George Clooney, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not all home runs.
No.
This one's a stand-up triple, man.
Yeah,
Folks who have problems with the Coens, if there's sometimes they say they're too acerbic or too weird or what have you, because you know some folks had issues with No Country for Old Men and Fargo and The Big Lebowski, and that's really their problem. They need help, but this is about as close to a popcorn movie as the Coen brothers can make, and it's still really damn entertaining. It is dark, it is violent, and I'll get to the rating about this in a little bit, and I'll get to the remake, the 1969 version in a little bit. But this is just a fun Western. Bridges, you know, after winning an Oscar with Crazy Heart and suffering through Tron, I'm sure he didn't suffer through Tron, we did. But, You know, he damn near needs subtitles in this film.
Yeah, and he does a great Billy Bob Thornton a la Sling Blade.
Is that what you think it sounded?
He's like,
But solid performances by everybody, and which you kind of expect. Matt Damon, Josh Brolin. I will say this, Barry Pepper does a really good Robert Duvall impression. He played Duvall's character, I believe, in True Grit. And the big chat has been about Hailee Steinfeld, who plays the girl, the 14-year-old girl, or as The Onion referred to this movie, No Country for 14-year-old girls. but it's a rock-solid screenplay, which you expect. And this is a 14-year-old girl with a laser focus on one job and one job only, even if she has to deal with Rooster Cogburn, even if she has to deal with the Texas Ranger, or the Texas Rangers, or, you know, the bad guys that she winds up encountering. But she holds her own with a really solid cast, and it's actually a really well-written character. You know, I think probably the first thing that really comes into mind is her having to deal with the guys as far as her dad's horses.
Yeah, the loan, they just keep on going back and forth on this mm-hmm. loan, and previously in the movie you're just like, oh, okay, well, here's this young female character, and then all of a sudden it's like right out of the gate, it's her first scene to actually get to have some really impressive dialogue, and it's really impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it pulls you into the story really quickly as to her, as you say, laser focus. And it just doesn't go away the rest of the movie, and it's really amazing.
No, and it's a fun trip with these three along the way. So yeah, Ben, your thoughts? Because I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Right. No, it's a great. If you're a Coen fan, go and see it because they get to play with big scenes. I mean, it's the West, so you get, you know, great, fantastic, just long landscape shots.
Hello, Roger Deakins.
Yeah,
and nice to see you again.
And then the interiors seem pretty right for the time. You know, they're all pretty accurate. Which is, and to go back to the she's a 14-year-old girl, and it's like, this is the Wild West, or more or less Wild West.
Sure.
And everywhere she goes, they're like, what are you doing here? You're a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's the Wild West, man. You're not supposed to be there either. So it plays on a few throughout the entire film, the idea of women and what they can be doing out there and their focus.
Yeah, because if you think about the legacy of female characters in Westerns, not a whole hell of a lot.
No.
You know, I think of one that immediately comes to mind was a film from the 90s, and not a lot of people saw called The Ballad of Little Joe with Susie Amos, a.k.a. Mrs. James Cameron III, where she... I know. She poses as a man out in the West. You know, and then other than maybe Annie Oakley and some of those characters, not a whole lot of dynamic. And yeah, I know. I saw The Quick and the Dead and Bad Girls, and no matter how pretty they are, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible.
Yeah. No, it was. And she holds her own in this movie with Matt Damon, who is, I want to say at times he's just phoning it in and just reading off the. Reading off a card, but man, once in a while it's just that little glimmer that makes him.
But I think he does well as the kind of arrogant Texas Ranger who thinks he can, you know, he can show up anybody, even the one-eyed drunk fat man who,
yeah.
You know, even when he's loaded, can still hit a moving target pretty good.
Well,
remember, shot or killed.
a few tries.
Exactly, but eventually he will. Not to be trifled with on that. So. Yeah. Now the film is rated PG-13, and there's been some discussion of recent films about some certain ratings. First off, there was talk about The King's Speech, which opens tomorrow. It got an R rating because of, you know, quite a few uses of the F word, even though it's apparently an enlightening picture about overcoming stuttering. And then there was Blue Valentine, which Indianapolis will probably get in January, which had an NC-17 because of a not gratuitous sex scene. It was a regular, for lack of a better comparison, and they wound up, the Weinsteins wound up going back and forth, and they actually finally got the R. And now we have this film. And
there is some violence.
There is,
It's a Western, so it's a lot of people not. It's not your, shoot them once and they're down.
No, and there's something that happens to, I don't want to give it away, but something that happens to a tongue of a particular character.
That's the Coens handle that very well.
I think so. So does the
and
film?
And there's an F-bomb here and there, but it's
but
so muttered.
Yeah, I remember. That's true. Now that we gave that away, but I think, but you know, in the old days, it was like you were allowed one F-bomb, and then and you could still get a PG-13. You know, so I think it's quite a few. And I know some of my cohorts at the IFJA thought the film should have been R. I think it's all right. I think it's fine.
I think when you put together the way that the story unfolds, the characters' places in them. Regardless if the one of the main characters is a minor, I think the story kind of goes over all of that because of the situation and the plot and how it moves forward. The violence is violence. You know, turn on your TV, you're going to see it.
And so. There's been a number of PG-13 horror films. And, yeah, at times they're like sugar-free ice cream. But, yeah, but there's been, I think, far bloodier stuff that's happened this rating. So it's relax. It's okay. Now... That being said, there's been some folks, some of them even work in this building, Jim, that, yes, this film is better than the original 1969 True Grit starring John Wayne. And, yes, I know John Wayne won an Academy Award. And, by the way, his real name is Marion. And here's my –
Are we going to start talking about Repo Man?
And I say – no, we're not doing that line. Okay. And I say this because – it's okay to like the remake of True Grit better than the original, and you can and not hate America. I'm not wiping myself with the American flag. Oh no! I've had some people, maybe not in this building, maybe on AM, who you know, don't you dare say anything bad about Duke, even though he directed the Alamo and the Green Berets. The first True Grit is the John Wayne show. He got an Oscar. Not necessarily deserved, but it was one of his best performances. Yeah. But it's the John Wayne show. You have Kim Darby as the girl who's irritating. You have Glenn Campbell as the third wheel. And as I love hearing on the DVD commentary, the John Wayne historian and the Western historian, as soon as Glenn Campbell came on, they all went, yeah, that's a Western haircut.
But some chops.
Yeah, it's a good film. Not a great film. Not all old films are classics.
There's a reason I saw it 5 or 6 times growing up on TV.
Because it was on.
Yeah, because it was on. And
you got to see. And also, the other big comparison with the remake. In the remake, Rooster Cogburn's not a father figure.
Mm-mm.
And that kind of what happens between John Wayne and Kim Darby. So there's that detachment. That I think makes this an even darker picture.
Yeah, that might be one of the things that actually wanted people to be an R rating, because there are points in the movie where you're just like, oh yeah, this is when he's supposed to step up and be like, oh no, it's okay, and he doesn't because he's who he is.
Yeah.
And you've got this young girl and they're out in the wilderness and you would think, oh, this is, you know, time to save the day, and it doesn't happen. That's why. I think it's okay to take younger viewers to it because they're going to see that and it's just going to forward the story.
Exactly. So the John Wayne True Grit, and of course there's been stories that the remake is closer to the novel, but that's a whole other discussion. But the John Wayne...
You have to read a book to do that,
I suppose. But we don't review books here at Film Sociology. The John Wayne True Grit is Michael Jordan with the Bulls with no titles. The Coen Brothers version... is Jordan with Scotty and Dennis and everybody else when they got the titles. It's just a better overall package to begin with. That's all I'm saying. Yes, you can watch the original and enjoy it, but I'm telling you, this version is better. It's okay to like both, but this one is a more complete package. And we might be talking about this at the end of the year. I know we're going to be talking about this at the end of the year film show next week. So let's hear it.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody's been working in the studio.
Yep.
Very nice. So, okay, I think we got all the new movies, right? Yeah, King's Speech opens tomorrow. The Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro needs money film opened already.
They're so funny. Again and again. No.
As much as I love looking at Terry Polo and Blythe Danner, I don't know. And, King's Speech opens tomorrow. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. We'll be right back.
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open, or box, that's in your grocery store, gas station. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, and then you can also go to the WFYI Facebook page for if you have questions or comments and all that.
Instant feedback.
Instant
in the digital
feedback.
Age.
That's right. That's Ben Traub. Kobe Slavels hanging out with us.
Hey, Kobe.
Yep, I'm here.
And I want to say a special shout-out. You can say shout-out on HD, too.
Oh, yeah.
To Ben's family. Running joke. Ask me at a brewery sometime, and I'll tell you. But I want to say a special hello to Ben's family, who's listening online at WFYI.org in Germany.
Yay.
Where in Germany again?
They're in a little town called Hattingen. Pretty cool little place. It is snowy over there, like
worse than us.
Oh,
of course it is.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thank you, and we raise a stein to you.
Oh yes.
And Ben, sit down. Okay, so new on DVD and Blu-ray this week. I know it's awful. New on DVD and Blu-ray, we have earlier this year when the Expendables came out, there was a really fun article in Slate.com on what if the Expendables were women. And, of course, one of the ladies on that list is probably the only one working today that can actually carry her own action film, and that's Angelina Jolie and her action film Salt, directed by Philip Noyce, where she is somebody who works for the government and may or may not be a spy. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, no.
Here's some audio.
You got a walk-in. A defector. He's Russian.
Neural scan is up.
Yep.
What's your name?
My name is Vasily Orlov.
Nothing. He doesn't exist.
Today, a Russian agent will travel to New York City to kill the president. This agent is KA-12.
The KA program? He's a myth.
Scan says he's truthful.
This guy's selling smoke.
Wrap it up, Ev.
Don't you want to know the name?
You're good.
You can tell the rest of your story to one of my colleagues.
The name of the agent is Evelyn Salt.
My name is Evelyn Salt.
Then you are a Russian spy.
Where'd she go?
What are you doing there? What are you doing? This doesn't look good.
I'm not a Russian spy.
On the ground!
I'm innocent! Somebody is setting me up!
Stop!
Maybe it's all the sushi says she is.
Maybe it's your department. Mine is catching her so we can find out.
General crashing sounds.
Lots of noise in that one. Well, it's nice to know that Angelina Jolie, and it's nice to know that female action stars can have their own born scatterbrain shot action movie, too.
Yeah. It's an entertaining movie. I've seen it. I liked it.
If you like the born stuff, which means you should have Dramamine before watching it a little bit. No, and
Just half
a Dramamine, that's right. Now, no, the one issue I have with the film is it has this, recurring thing of you're wondering, is she or isn't she?
Mm.
And the problem is, because it's Angelina Jolie, it can't be one. It's definitely not the. It's one. It's definitely not the other. And I'll say it because if she is.
Well, yeah.
No, because seriously.
Well, yeah, because that's the point of the movie. Yeah. Right? Is she this or is she that?
But,
she's either one or the other. Yeah.
But you see, I don't remember having this issue while watching, say, No Way Out. Remember you got hit with that curveball in the last 5 minutes of the film. I'm saying, because if this was a film in which Angelina Jolie was a spy, Glenn Beck would still be screaming about it to this day, and she would be on the most hated list of, you know, certain news networks, because how dare one of the most popular and influential women who adopts babies and goes to Africa and her husband's in New Orleans, and then she dares to be a Russian spy in a giant blockbuster movie. It can't happen.
I can't say anything to that without talking about the end of the movie.
Okay.
I could only speak to it more directly.
Okay.
I think True Grit's a great popcorn movie. A lot of people skip this in the theater because they're thinking, okay, there are other action movies out right now, but I'd rather see some, you know, ripped dude like blow up stuff. But you get to see Angelina Jolie blow up stuff, which is so much better.
Not as lunkheaded as, say, The Expendables.
I didn't watch that.
On DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm not gonna watch it. I watched too many YouTube reviews of it saying that it was the best movie ever. So.
Well, okay. First off, there's your source.
Yeah.
YouTube. I'm not on YouTube.
Oh.
No, it's quite okay. So no, I think that the surprise element didn't do it. But yeah, she's running and kicking and shooting and being chased by Chiwetel Ejiofor, who I always love. It's funny watching him. He's earning his check. This is like 2012. And he brings a little bit of credibility to what is really a nothing role.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to watch him work. And between this and Repo Men, stop casting Liev Schreiber as the reliable source.
Yeah.
Please stop doing that.
Yeah.
He needs to do something else for a while. I know he's kind of got a dark, menacing, you know, talent thing about him, but stop casting him in these. He needs a rest.
Yeah. Put him in a comedy.
A wacky comedy. Oh, do we have something there?
No.
So, no, that's all right. We're checking your messages if you have any. And that's
And I was just watching 2012 last night, and yeah,
wow.
I hadn't watched the end because I wanted to see how, you know, this world will.
You know what? It'll be full with rich people.
Yeah.
We felt bad briefly that there were no, no employees, but then we got over it real quick.
Oh, yeah. You want to give your seat to a Chinese worker? Oh, what are they talking about? Jeez, I wonder.
Yeah, nice little brief debate about humanity. We'll just let the rich people. And by the way, nice windshield. You have this giant kajillion dollar arc.
And it gets hit by a snowball. And
it cracks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Must be in there.
All right, let's stop talking about that movie.
Let's talk about
it. The more I think about it.
The more you get irritated?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I thought. Well, I thought
that was
also
a good movie.
No, I did not think that.
That was what,
Ben
that's
thought.
That's what I think about it.
So Ben thought.
I thought it was a good movie.
What's the matter with you? Now play what I think.
I think it's overrated.
There you go.
Stop you!
Wow, you play the guest comment before mine.
Wow.
Man. Well, you know I'm feeling generous. It is Christmas Eve.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Matt. Thanks for micing me up, Kobe. Thanks a lot.
That's right. Also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, the latest from Oliver Stone. Yeah, he decided to make a sequel to Wall Street. Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, because it's not only illegal. Greed is bad, and now it's legal, or whatever Michael Douglas says in the movie. Play it.
Someone reminded me I once said, greed is good. Now it seems it's legal. Because everybody's drinking the same Kool-Aid. Now, I've been considered a pretty smart guy. And maybe I was in prison too long.
One watch and one mobile phone.
But sometimes it's the only place to stay sane and look out through those bars and say, is everybody out there nuts?
Gecko was one of the biggest names on Wall Street before he went to prison for insider trading.
That name doesn't mean anything anymore.
If it weren't for people who took risks, where would we be in this world?
I might want to wipe some drool off your face.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Mr. Gecko!
My name is Jacob Moore. I'm going to marry your daughter.
I've been around
My daughter hasn't spoken to me in years, and you know it.
I never knew my dad as a peaceful person. That always scared me.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name.
I know it sounds crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But people change.
I was loving you with the nature of my...
It's not
life.
Who you think he is, Jake. He'll hurt us.
Why don't you start calling me Gordon? We're only part of the family business.
You got my attention. But when you don't know what you're doing, it's fatal, Mr. Moore.
So much you don't know, Jacob.
They took my life, and when I got out, who's waiting for me? Nobody!
This is not about the money. This is about you and me.
It's about doing the right thing.
It's about the game.
I did tell you, Jake. I did warn you.
It's easy to get in. It's hard to get out.
Is that a threat?
Absolutely.
We have to give it to Oliver Stone. He always has an impressive cast with him. Some of those voices you might recognize: Shia LaBeouf, Carey Mulligan, Josh Brolin, Susan Sarandon. Eli Wallach shows up briefly, Frank Langella. Yes, there is a Charlie Sheen cameo. Woohoo, we can all move on.
One scene where they go into a room and open the...
No,
anyway.
When I heard he was making this, I thought, well, Michael Douglas must need a check, or Oliver Stone must need a check, because... But I was fairly intrigued because of the economic situation that we've been in, and things are still kind of bad, and I was going to be really upset if it was just going to be a complete rehash where, you know, Gordon Gekko has a new young sucker to kick around, and it kind of is. Mm. Not entirely, because the other issue is he kind of softens up Gekko, at least to a certain degree, and then pulls the rug out from under you and then tries to put it back near the end of the film. Now, you know, subtlety is not one of Oliver Stone's strongest traits, but seriously, there's moments with a bubble going up in the air and then popping. Also, dominoes falling. Yeah.
What does it mean, Matt?
I you know what? You'll have to check the textbooks on that one.
Okay. The Film 101 textbooks?
The Film 101 textbooks, that's right. So, and then tries to wrap things up. There's a, when we find out that Michael Douglas's character is going to be a grandfather, and then it's, I swear, the closing credits looks like a scene from Parenthood, whether it's the film, the film or the series, or either one of the series. But, and also, I guess also, it's another system of, you know, tell me something I don't know. We know that they're bad. Josh Brolin is the bad guy in this one again.
Well, I mean, does it, I mean, he made it fairly hastily. I mean, is it like, do you know if it's accurate as far as the background using the real world story of?
Well, I'd say if you want that, then check out Inside Job, which was a documentary that came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Or, and I know some people don't like it when I suggest this, Capitalism, a Love Story is another one. See, that's the kind of, see, at least Inside Job doesn't have him in it. So it's the same, it's a similar storyline. It's a little more condensed, it feels more like a heist job.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other documentary. Yeah. So, yeah, he made it. Bully for him. It was a real letdown. And I actually liked Stone's work up until the last couple of films, last few films, really. Mm-hmm. World Trade Center, I was not like
that's
crazy
where
about.
That's for me.
And
that, and then W.
Yeah, W. I guess we were expecting another Nixon. If you're gonna do a film, just go back crazy on the guy.
Yeah.
Instead of giving us, well, what you made. So.
Yeah.
I guess I'm overall I miss crazed out 80s Oliver Stone. His films are just getting softer and softer. And when is this like the 80s George Carlin Place for My Stuff? When do we get like another 10 years? He's just gonna become
just
crazy
snap.
Old man
just
snap and
again.
Start turning into Ken Russell. We'll wait for you, Oliver. I just hope you do. So this is what I thought of Wall Street.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
And at the very least, I guess you can watch the first film, because that one, for 1987, is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
All right. A couple other titles that came out. Oh, Step Up 3 is on DVD and Blu-ray. Guess what? It's not available in 3D. I can't even get the 3D glasses.
Well, I'm not buying it then.
I know you're not. I know you're not. I'm sorry. Easy A, for those who like to mix our high school comedies with The Scarlet Letter.
Which I saw, and I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I think my wife didn't like it as much. We watched it together. That's kind of the thing, because she was interested in the story. And
you're
interested in Emma Stone. So we kind of came to a conclusion there.
Don't you love those?
But I mean, as far as like a mindless teen comedy, it's not so mindless, and it treats the viewers kind of like they're mature enough to be able to handle some of the subject matter, which is good.
Same ballpark as, say, 10 Things I Hate About You or Clueless or Mean Girls?
Oh, it's no Clueless. It's a little better than Mean Girls.
Okay.
And 10 Things I thought was a POS.
Thank you. Thank you for checking that. Okay. Also, I might have to make you Google image, Kobe. Sony's put out a box set of the films of Rita Hayworth.
Oh.
Cover Girl, Tonight and Every Night, Miss Sadie, and Gilda. Gilda, now, if you saw Shawshank, you know that's everybody's favorite film opening moment. That's the movie they're watching in prison, obviously. But, it's a prison movie. Quite all right. But, her entrance in Gilda is one of the all-time great opening character introductions. Right up there with, for me, Ursula Andress and Dr. No. And I'm sure there's a few others out there, but that one's pretty... That's also unbelievable. Kobe, you all right over there?
Yeah, we're...
You're good?
So if you need a last-minute gift for your paw for Christmas...
Especially if your paw is named Sosie. The films of Rita Hayworth would be...
I think Best Buy is open for about another 2 hours.
Are they? Yeah, I was like, how late are these stores staying open?
I don't know. I was out earlier today. It was nuts.
Was it crazy?
It was nuts.
I went to a couple spots in Castleton, and no, it was all right. Well, really? I went under via Allisonville Road, so I didn't have to go on 82nd. It's bad, but anyway. So no, there's a few spots opening. I know. Full disclosure, I'll be at Upland as soon as this show's over.
Okay,
got a growler to fill. So there's that. But yeah, I wondered how long the stores are going to stay open, especially since, you know, they've been opening at 3 a.m. the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, who knows? They'll probably be open from 2 to 4 on Christmas Day. Well, what else is coming out this week?
That's about it. It's a short week because of the holidays.
Oh,
anyway, those are also available. All right, let's take a short break, and then got a little... Well, so I played this last year, and I should play it again this year. Do you have it ready and queued up, Kobe?
I will get it ready.
Oh, that's what the break music is for. I wrote it on the sheet. Yeah. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Merry Christmas, everybody. There
Merry
you go.
Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was much rejoicing.
Yay!
Yes, yeah, so welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, as is WFYI on Facebook, if you have any gift suggestions.
WFYI is The Point. Just go to Facebook. Like it.
Or if you have questions about Rita Hayworth, happy to answer those too.
But you're already there on the internet, so I'm pretty sure you're going to be... No, yeah.
Probably. Tomorrow night, shameless plug, at 8 o'clock is a special three-hour blues holiday party on WFYI 90.1 and HD1. So I'll be happy to provide a soundtrack as you guys are relaxing after having your deep-fried turducken or whatever it is you folks eat at your homes on Christmas Day.
You folks.
You people. So, before we get into holiday movies, I suppose, Christmas movies, this according to The Onion, apparently Tommy Wiseau is trying to plan a 3D version of The Room.
Do tell.
Well, I brought this up to Melissa, and that nauseated her, I think, to a great deal, and she loves The Room, but I don't think she wants to watch his heaving back in 3D.
Mm-mm.
Hadn't thought about that scene, didn't you?
Nope.
Yeah, this is according to The Onion. One-dimensional actor/director Tommy Wiseau is, quote, obsessed about 3D right now, if you ask me, which Entertainment Weekly did, and is planning on converting his cult disaster piece, The Room, into 3D for a theatrical re-release in late 2011 or early 2012, a process Wiseau acknowledges is very detail-oriented. Because clearly, Wiseau knows there's something is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Along with footballs coming at you.
That.
Yes. along with footballs coming right at you and many, many shots that will make you feel like you're right there on the Golden Gate Bridge. Clearly, the most tangible enhancements will come during this film's endless rose-draped sex scenes. My bottom will be in 3D because I have not changing anything, he said. So you'll be very close. Is there a finer visual rejoinder to James Cameron's self-satisfied proclamations about 3D than... Oh, I can't write that. I can't read that. So I'm just not going to. So
no.
And apparently he's still working on his sitcom, The Neighbors. And I know there's at least a 10-minute clip of the house that dripped blood on Alex. But yes, here at Film Sociology, we are Central Indiana's source for Tommy Wiseau news. And there it is.
Put that in print, man.
That's right. And print it.
Go-to place.
Wow. So, gentlemen, it is Christmas Eve, and since none of the ladies wanted to come in on Christmas Eve, I guess
Boo.
No, you have family.
Mine had a really long drive.
Yeah, really long drive. Nah. So what are the Christmas / holiday? And by the way, folks, any December greetings you get accepted. It's okay. Lighten up. It's fine.
Yeah.
Are there any what Christmas movies do you guys watch at your house?
What are you
house?
Gonna watch,
Cobe? Besides Blue
Tell
Velvet.
You what I'm not gonna watch. I'm not gonna watch Blue Velvet. Christmas time, Charlie Brown. It's Christmas time again, Charlie Brown.
The sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Also in 3D.
Charlie's head looks so weird.
Oh, my gosh. His brown striped shirt is coming right. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's probably about the extent.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm going to go through my loose piles of discs and try to watch kind of a weird holiday film.
Try us.
It's called Static. It, like 1980 something. I had to write some things down. I remembered it because it was Mark Romanek's first feature length film.
Really?
Yeah. It's really weird. It takes place during Christmas time.
Is here.
And, it's about a guy, Ernie Blick, who loses his parents. He's played by Keith Gordon, who most of you guys know as the son of Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School.
Thank you.
But, it's kind of a weird, kind of sad comedy. It's a dramedy. But it takes... He loses his parents, and he goes and he tries to make a machine that you can see heaven. So it's kind of...
Not building the ladder to heaven.
No. He just is putting these things together. And he's from a weird little town, and Amanda Plummer's in it, and she is
this is mid-80s Amanda Plummer.
Right. So she's kind of still has her wits about
her. Kind of underground, kooky.
The whole movie's pretty under... It's a weird little film. There's this great... One of the characters has a Korean wife, and he has twin boys. And they're named North and South, and they have this great dance sequence where they're wearing...
No, it's fine.
Do I have to go now? Oh, that's
no,
fine.
You don't.
But anyway, Static. It takes place during Christmas. It's very much about our connections to families and our friends and what we want for them after they go away.
I see.
And it's got a pretty kind of ending.
Okay.
So, if good luck finding it.
But you have it.
Oh yeah.
Because you have. Many films that aren't available in boxes.
We're going to start a new segment on the show called What's Ben Watching on His Computer.
Not at work, of course.
No.
Well, last night, the Socies, we watched White Christmas, and Emma actually enjoyed that. We had shown it to her last year, but she seemed to like it more this year with Danny Kaye.
Was last year the inaugural year?
For that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Danny Kaye, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, you know, George's aunt. Yeah, back then, early 50s, she was a dish. And I'm really happy.
What was that?
She was a dish. A dish. You've never heard that phrase.
No.
He's 20.
You watched Ocean's
22, right? You're 23 now?
23. Yeah. You've never heard that complimentary phase?
He doesn't hang out in pool halls. Oh, you see that name? She's a real dish.
She's a real dish. She was a dish. George's aunt. Google 50s Rosemary Clooney. And you know what? The other great moment, I always bring this up, and I brought it up with Lynn, is Mary Wicks is who plays. Mary Wicks is a character actress from way back, way, way back. But she was on. Were you old enough to watch Sigmund the Sea Monster? Were you that? The Drug-A-Chusetts movies, shows?
No.
It's okay. She was Aunt Zelda in that. But she was always like a librarian or the neighbor or the spinster or,
okay.
You know, that
I
sort of thing. She was Emma knows her as the voice of the female gargoyle in Hunchback of Notre Dame, Notre Dame that came out in the 90s. If I showed you a picture of her, which Kobe might have to do, it's that woman.
Okay.
But she runs the inn, but there's a really cool moment where her character spontaneously kisses Bing Crosby, and he has a great reaction. It's not what you expect, and it's kind of chalk one up for the character actors being able to smooch the leading man. I'm
here,
pro.
Here.
Yeah, thank. Damn it, this is what I look for, and this is the type of info I bring to this program. So there. So anyway, we watched that, and then the other two that Emma loves to watch, along with Charlie Brown Christmas, are the Mystery Science Theater treatments of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians,
yeah,
with young Pia Zadora, where Santa Claus is in space. And then there's Santa Claus, which is this really bad Mexican holiday movie where Santa Claus fights the devil.
Oh,
not
yeah.
with fists, but with wits. And there's this guy in red pantaloons and... It's really, really
that
awful.
That one's really weird. If you want to see something really weird, and my friend Rob G found it on YouTube, there's a really weird Christmas movie called Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Okay? Really?
And it's all shot, horrible audio, shot in Florida. And it's Santa Claus falls in, he's on the beach, and it's like, what's going on? Okay, here's the thing. In the middle of the movie, it goes to this stage production of Thumbelina. And then comes back to Santa Claus.
When's this made?
I'd probably say like 83, 84.
Santa Claus and the Ice Cream
Bunny.
And
the Ice Cream Bunny. It's a classic. If you can get through it, huzzah.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Not at work. You watch this
at home.
Oh,
no, you can watch it. It's for the kids, man. Oh, my God.
Just like we don't want to watch Tommy Wiseau's backside at work, even if we count it as research.
That's why no one comes into your office, Matt.
I don't have an office. I wish I had an office. I don't even have the Les Nessman tape marks.
Yeah.
Not yet. So, well, the other thing is, and since there's nobody else here to defend it, this is my yearly rant where, you know, Christmas Story is not the greatest Christmas movie ever made, and not even by a long shot, and it's too obnoxious, and yes, you will shoot your eye out, and I don't care. No film is worth showing 24 hours straight on TNT. None. Not even Not even Food Network pillow fight. Maybe it would, but but I'm just saying. That's just one film I don't get.
You don't get it? Or you
no,
don't
I get it.
Why?
I just don't. I don't get it. Cause here, that's
you don't get
one.
The obsession.
No, yeah, that's the other one. That's kind of like True. It's worse than True Grit. I've said not nice things about that film, and people have looked at me like, you know, the terrorist one.
I don't know that it's. I think it just connects with so many people because of a kind of semi-realism. And yeah, it was big in Indiana for years and years and years.
Yes, and I'm sure Gene Shepard is a fine storyteller, but
and it's a good story. That's the thing.
A kid wanting something more than anything else
right,
in the world,
and everyone saying you're going to hurt yourself with it.
And he does. Good for him. He won't. He's not the NRA.
Is he a spy? Is he not a Russian spy? Who knows? You'll have to watch for at least 23 hours.
But I don't.
It's a perfectly mediocre film, just like Indiana. It's perfectly mediocre. No, that's why people here love it so much. Is because it's just like, oh, there's some funny parts and it's got some heart.
So it's like a middle of the road tenderloin.
Not the I don't best, know what that is.
Not the best tenderloin in the city. Just kind of a place that serves
it's
tenderloin.
A place, yeah, if you get there and you want a sandwich, order the tenderloin, I guess. It's not so great. It's not the best thing they got. But if you want tenderloin, go ahead and watch Christmas Story.
And don't buy a car or booze on Sundays. So there, I think I feel better that I've done that.
I agree with you in some respects, but I still think it's fun to sit down and watch.
Okay. But it's not the worst. That's the other thing. Also, people come off like I said it's the worst film ever. No, Surviving Christmas and Christmas with the Cranks are really god-awful.
Oh, Surviving Christmas is the...
Ben Affleck, James Gandolfini, guy who basically just
muscles
his way into a family. It's really unpleasant. Really
I'm trying
weird.
To get around the Ben Affleck thing. I did watch The Town the other day. But
Town's good.
Eh.
No, seriously. The only issue, once you accept that kind of a leap of a plot point with his character and the girl, it's like a Boston version of Heat. With not enough Blake Lively.
Yeah, and not as many bullets or,
no, but
as,
it's,
or as much tension. It's just...
It's a decent crime film, I thought.
It's decent. It's kind of like the Christmas Story of
crime
films.
No, it's better than that.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. But you have to admit, the guy gets a lot of clout. Think about all the stuff he got to shoot around Boston.
Yeah,
he got to go
true.
Into Fenway
yeah,
and shoot that. So
lot,
it's got to be nice company if you can have it.
Yeah. How you like them apples, huh?
How do you like them apples?
Yeah. Like apples.
Honeycrisp is the best, though, right?
It is. It absolutely
that's
is.
That's totally not what we're talking about.
Did we have a fight about apples at work recently?
No.
No, no it wasn't a fight?
No.
me hitting you, you hitting the floor. Your thoughts ain't my thoughts. And no, we shouldn't start quoting Reverend X.
Nope.
Can't do it.
I wanted to see, a couple years ago, when it was out in theaters, Fred Claus. Thoughts on Fred Claus?
Oh, God, that's obnoxious as hell. Don't watch that.
Okay, what's your take on Four Christmases?
That's also obnoxious. Okay. If you had to tell me you had a film with four... That film has four damn Oscar winners in it.
Yeah.
And it's just one ridiculous scenario. Just,
it does have Dwight Yoakam in it, though.
You know what? Dwight Yoakam's not that bad in that. He can be pretty good.
No,
although
he's talking about Sling Blade earlier.
He's
but,
scary as hell in Sling Blade.
So good. If you want to watch Four Christmases, stop and go watch...
Go watch Sling Blade. It's more, it's more uplifting, really. Yeah. But no, it's just that's just really obnoxious and... silly, and I don't care. I don't need Jon Favreau roided up jumping all over me. And the thing about Fred Claus is if you had had just a dinner, which of course they won't make, but if you had just a dinner with Paul Giamatti and Kathy Bates and Vince Vaughn and all those guys, and if it was just a dinner, not the whole, you know, he takes over the company or helps take over the company, you'd have had something of just it would have been like a chamber drama with Santa Claus and his slacker brother. But, of course, Warner Brothers doesn't want to make that. They don't want to make Vanya, Uncle Vanya. They want to make this obnoxious thing where Vince Vaughn is running around with the elves and there's Elvis music playing, and it's just a mess. So I don't need that. Oh, Miranda Richardson's in it, although she's fun to look at. But, no, I don't need Four Christmases either. So no more Vince Vaughn Christmas movies, please. So there's Holiday Inn. Yeah, I know you haven't seen Holiday Inn yet, Kobe.
You're right, I have not.
There's that. Are you Googling people while I'm talking to you?
That's, okay, see, it's gotten to the point now
You can't Google and participate at the same time.
No, well, see, like...
I'm checking our Facebook page for responses and talking to him at the same time.
Multitasking.
Okay.
What?
I'm not even... I'm Googling Miranda Richardson.
Oh, my gosh. You don't know who Miranda Richardson is?
No, I...
How would you know?
Yeah.
Okay, Harry Potter?
Nope.
Oh, jeez. Now, I know you don't watch Blackadder. You didn't see Chicken Run. That was a voice.
Nope.
She, look it up. It's fine. It's fine. Jeez. And National Lampoon's Christmas. I don't need.
Playbill.
Yeah, I don't need.
No, it's like,
by the way, don't let Randy Quaid in your house.
Yeah. Christmas lesson learned.
Apparently so. I'm not a big fan of the vacation movies either. I got tired of Chevy Chase just driving his family into more and more anguish.
The first two are really fun. I think the first two, those are like National Lampoons at their top of the game where they could actually get a budget to actually make a good movie.
Right.
But then like Christmas Vacation was just so, I mean, I remember watching it as a kid and being like, come on, Chevy, you're phoning it in.
Been phoning it in. You know, apparently he's pretty good in Community.
Yeah, and I won't watch that show until it gets canceled.
I don't like Community.
You don't like him?
Nah, I don't like Community.
You want something really amusing? You check out the YouTube clips of his talk show.
Oh.
It's right up there with the Magic Johnson show.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, huh. Not kidding. Not right now. We have a show to finish.
It's almost over. Wait a few
it's
more minutes.
It's almost there. And then we'll go to Upland and we'll have pints.
Yay!
And other things. We are almost done.
We're almost done.
But with that being said, want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, December greetings, whatever.
Happy holidays. I hope everyone had a good Hanukkah. It's over now.
That's right. And, you know, if there's a Kwanzaa blues tune, send it to me. I'll play it on the show tomorrow night. So, good times. Here's some words to live by all year long.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
You know, I think maybe 2011, Kobe, you have to watch the films in which we use all the sound clips.
What?
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot.
I saw The Good Man, The Ugly.
That's a start. And you watch Superfly, right?
Seen Clerks. Superfly.
No, I haven't shown you Superfly.
You just said it the other day, the can you dig it. You don't actually use that.
I should.
The Warriors.
It's an excellent action film. All right, well.
we'll talk about all the movies from the last decade that you still need to see.
And then some. And Blue Velvet. On behalf of Kobe Slagle and Ben Trump, I'm Matthew Sosie. Go see a good movie. You might need a break from the family on Christmas. Or listen to the Blues House Party. You deserve it. You're listening to WFYI 90.1 HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Merry Christmas.